Yep.
All right, I'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
President Gass is here. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
Trustee Harris.
Here.
All present and accounted for. What did I just skip over you? Trustee Dart.
Here.
Jeez, is he cold?
I saved the best for last.
Smart.
All right, is there a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda?
I got one.
Move to adopt as presented. Trustee Harris, is there a second? Trustee Atwood, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I oppose. The agenda is adopted as presented. Item number 3, 2016 budget review work session with village staff. We should probably do is go down some of the capital requests that show up on the budget. Would be a good place to start.
I thought I'd start with kind of clearing up some of the questions from last time, just get those out of the way first.
Sure.
And then hopefully going down the list will go a little bit smoother.
And as easy as Sunday morning.
All right. First thing, I think it was from last time, I'll just pass this. This is the franchise fees, if anyone was wondering on that, with the new I proposal, taking the cap down. That's not really, it wasn't really a question, but when considering that, that's our history of the franchise fees, and they wanted 10% of that. So, the second one.
We're assuming 2015 is going to be much the same?
Yeah, okay. It should be the same.
Sorry, we're all of them.
Second thing here that I'll go to is equipment replacement fund. It was asked for a, that's a debt. This one. For sort of like a statement of cash flows we've put together. So this, I started with 5 years of history because that's kind of what we've been going with, and then projecting out through 2020. And I can actually pull this one up. I should have done that first. I keep forgetting I have this. It's so nice. All right, so I just took the format of the statement of cash flows, which is start, like I said, this is a history, 5 years of actual, plus what we project for this year and out into the future. I don't want to get it too small to get all the columns on, but is that too small? So on the top row is cash received from user charges. That's what we're getting from all the different departments. Cash payments to suppliers comes out of that fund. And below I wrote just an example of things that get charged. It's not just the equipment we buy. So we have contracted services, supplies, tools, and small equipment. You know, things like tires, gas, oil, fuel, diesel fuel. We also have our insurance on all the vehicles. That also gets paid by this fund. And there's a facilities use charge. It's $58,000. That's the equipment replacement fund sort of paying the village for the use of our facility. So all that's in there. And personnel costs for mechanics and labor and all that.
So if we pay ourselves, does it show up somewhere else as income?
Yes.
Okay.
So this isn't just replacements, it's maintenance.
Yeah, it's
maintenance
everything related to our vehicles.
Got it.
So we have an understanding of when we have our cash balance, everything that's getting paid out of there. So that kind of brings us down to our net cash provided by our operating activities. Then this line here going across, this is that acquisition of capital assets. So everything that we bought that year that we paid for out of the equipment replacement fund. And you can see how much it fluctuates from year to year. So it's nice that we have this and we don't have to worry about the tax rate going up and down. To get the future, and I know it changes every year, but I just thought for quick for this, I just took our equipment replacement fund list times the average life and the year that it was anticipated to be retired. It does fluctuate, but in there, so close enough. And then if we have any trade-ins, and that usually we don't really estimate that until that next year. So we have this year what we expected, we have next year because we know what we're going to buy next year. but in the future, we don't really know if that might offset this and might not. So then there's our net cash that we use or gain, if it's 2010, I guess, from what we purchased. The only thing we have for investing is interest income, not much. So that brings us to how did our cash change during the year. We start with what we had in the beginning. This year, 2015, we started with the $2.3 million. We expect to have positive cash flow of $75,000, so we'll end with $2.4 million. So when considering items that we want to switch to equipment replacement fund, that's our cash balance, and there's an idea what gets charged there. So I hope that helps.
It does, but I still have the question of where the fire department stuff go. Shouldn't
right.
there's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and we have, it doesn't look like it fluctuated much in there.
Right, because we still own those assets. Anything that we bought, I think we bought in 2013, we bought.
But we're not giving ourselves received from user charges on those, are we, currently?
No.
So shouldn't there be a big fluctuation in that received from user, or is there? It just seems like that would have been expensive equipment, and there would have been.
Right. So if you're thinking that in all of these years they would have shown up under equipment charges, and then phased out here, we would have had 10, 11 months here, and starting no months.
There it would make sense if that's where it started.
And then it started building back up. So
okay. That's.
Yeah, the user charges aren't in there anymore.
Right. I just didn't. I would thought you would really notice where that came out. But if it's that 2013 year, I guess you do notice.
Oh, the way I read this thing, I think we got too much money there.
With
the annual $900,000 kick-in and each annualized budget, after we spend everything we're going to spend between now and 2020, we're still running at about $2.5 million.
Right. I mean, we definitely want to have money in there, and we do have a lot of big, expensive equipment. I mean, I don't know how much our last garbage trucks were. They seemed like they were $150,000 at least, plus different.
$325 each.
How much each?
$325? $325, he says.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot, but those are. They're very expensive. It could go very fast. So.
No, I'm not suggesting
that we rob it.
That we rob it.
No, but you're right.
We can nickel and dime it. You know,
you're right. When we're looking at some of the
fire department gear dryer, supplemental heating, I mean, 10, 12 grand items here and there. I mean,
yeah, it's projected that we're going to grow, the balance is going to grow to 2.6 in 2017.
Even with purchases in there. Mm-hmm.
And if we look at it, you know, assuming you have the capital improvement plan included in this, the 5-year capital improvement plan?
Yes, because everything in the 5-year capital improvement plan would be the equipment replacement stuff.
Okay.
So. And there were some things that I did see, like I think there was a generator on here. I look back and we have paid for stuff like that out of equipment replacement fund in the past. Smaller things around $10,000 like that.
There are some big things. In I think 2019, you see that drop.
Like I said, it's not.
There's about a $400,000 purchase in there, which is our back truck. It'll be 15 or 16 years old, and we're figuring that's about when we're going to have to replace it.
I think I have it in
the point is,
year.
Once in a while, you're going to have a big expenditure.
Right.
But are we ever going to have a $2 million expenditure? Or $1 million?
At once?
Is there anything that could happen?
The building could fall in,
That's insurance.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well,
premiums are paid.
There's no single piece of equipment that is that much money.
But I'm just thinking there's a little room there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have to.
No, I agree.
Scalp it.
If you look at net cash used, the biggest value on there, I'm looking at row 17, is 2020, $585,000. That's probably when we'll have the back truck. I don't know when we'd have a garbage truck. But do we really need more than four times the most amount we've seen in a 10-year period set aside?
Right.
I understand that. Something can come up, and I would see no problem with two or at even three no issue with that, but I don't know if we need four times mm-hmm. our maximum annual outlay set aside as cash.
Is that 2013 500 and 1,000? Is that our fire truck?
I think there was something for the fire truck.
Doesn't it seem like the right timing?
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't look at the individual acquisition.
Well, and it was expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so with that said, if that truck goes away, based on an agreement with Green Bay, do they acquire equipment after a certain
yes.
number of years?
Okay, after 5 years, right?
And do they?
So if that whole agreement goes south at some point and we have to provide our own equipment for a fire department, that's where that four times comes in. Because if all of a sudden we said, hey, it's no longer fiscally responsible of us to be using somebody else for a fire department, that's where mm-hmm. that fund would come from.
Yeah, some things have changed.
I mean,
and that would deplete it quickly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing to say you can't. It's going to cost a lot more than a fire truck to put up a fire department, so you'd have to go out and borrow for that.
I think one thing that has happened, too, and you can check into it, but seems to me, I know when I started, we had about 2.1 million, I think, in cash, if I remember right, that's what we had. We extended the life of the equipment. Instead of replacing trucks in 8 years or 10 years, we went 12 and 14 and some of them 15. So I think that's probably built some of the reserves because we did more maintenance and extended the life. We didn't buy as much. Even though it seems like we buy a lot, we extended out there, and I think that's probably added to our reserves.
Mm-hmm. But it does look like we're maintaining those as well. That's
yeah, that's good. I mean, I don't think we have anything to worry about in that.
To everyone's credit. Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of the things they talked about today. It's unrelated at the water board. We were talking about the work on the trucks that they've done to extend the value and life of the vehicles to try and help to maintain control over their budgets. And everybody was talking about that and what they had done or could do. And DePere was the one that had to. Larry said the most about what they did to try and extend their lives because they were trying to pinch their budgets, and you know, that's a logical thing.
Okay. Well, I guess that's something we can kind of keep in mind, and maybe we'll come back to as we
What is the largest expenditure that we have over the time that we have the statistics for? What's the largest piece of equipment cost-wise that we've had to buy? Is that the fire truck?
Besides the fire
ladder
equipment? Yeah, I guess the...
They didn't sell for much either.
It's probably the
back truck,
which is...
Didn't sell it.
It's in the forecast for $350,000 or $400,000.
And that was what again?
That would be in 2019, but that's the back truck for sewer
cleaning. $400,000.
And I guess, just looking down... No, this isn't the clearest spreadsheet to read, but... I would say our biggest...
Fire truck for
you. Yeah. So, we did in 2013 buy that one. That sewer back truck is somewhere near us.
It's an expensive one.
Yeah.
There's a $342
right
truck.
Oh, this one. So.
$375.
Yeah. So, back in 2001, that's what we paid with some upgrades. So.
Clara, you had a. As you were scrolling through on the fire truck, you had a replacement of the fire truck for 2022.
I think it's
is
just
that
a column that's
no
been
longer,
carried.
That won't be our responsibility,
No, it
correct?
Won't.
Okay, just...
Correct. This is, I mean, you can see it gets carried forward every year, and I updated some of the costs, but...
Mm-hmm.
Not that. Yeah. We'll be fine. What else? Okay. So... Okay. I guess the next thing I had doesn't really require a lot of discussion, but I was asked for the debt schedule, so I know it's long, that's why I don't always hand it out in the desk more. So on page one is all the issues, and I just, you know, because it's broken up by different funds, and I tried to list them all together. Hopefully it makes it a little easier, so it's a total allocated to general water, sewer, storm. First page is principal, second page interest, with the very bottom principal and interest combined. And then the last page would be the revenue bonds of the latter. And I tried to put the general obligation and the revenue bond separate, since one goes against our debt limit and the other does not.
So the last part again, please?
Because the general obligation goes against our debt limit, but the revenue bonds do not go against our debt limit, because they're pledged by the revenue of the water utility.
Thank you.
So that's just to keep in mind as we talk about debt. What else do I have?
I'm sorry, what do the different colors mean again?
They're
different
just
areas.
Color coded. Purple is the village, green is sanitary, blue water, red storm.
Okay.
So I was hoping the colors made it a little easier, maybe not. Maybe it just made it pretty.
Choose colors on purpose.
Yep.
Blue water, a storm is red.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess blue water I always do, and then the rest of the cycle.
I don't care.
I didn't
want to
do brown.
It's only if you're talking about
these groups. Yeah, right. The next one, we didn't have the answer on the snow and ice budget. So, Craig, I don't know if you want me to read this answer or if you'd like to read it. I can be narrator. The question was, it was an equipment replacement fund, why we were projecting this account to be down by almost 20% if we were on target for the 2015 budget. And then it also came up in the operating budget, why the snow and ice is down a little bit for the next year's budget. So the equipment fund for snow and ice for 2016 is $12,500 lower for diesel fuel than in 2015. It's based on 2014 being a little over $10,000 for diesel fuel. The projected cost for 2015 wasn't corrected, but it probably should have been reduced. So if that had been done, then 2015 and 2016 would be about the same. So the 2015 projected really should be lower, which explains the 2016 budget. The fuel cost for 2015 was originally projected higher because of the winter weather projection, that considerable more snow plowing was going to be needed in 2015. It didn't turn out to be as severe, but it was cold. In the operating budget, that's Fund 10, Department 16, if the 2015 budget cost was adjusted for the lower diesel fuel cost, it would be about the same. So note that 2015 is likely to finish below budget, pending any snow we have. Mm-hmm. So does that answer that question? The next one was for the water utilities. Are there enough copies making it around?
So far, we're good.
For me, there is.
We're sharing well.
Lynn's at the end of the line, so that's true.
I just want one to read off of it first.
Next time you can go left.
Okay. I don't know if there is a next one.
Just kidding.
Oh, and we're talking about borrowing for the water meters that last $250,000. This is the depreciation fund cash account. It balances over the years. So you can see right now, through 2015 to date, we have $198,000 left in it. And the second page is what Craig had put together for when I was talking about our public work. So it's anticipated that the remaining meter purchases are going to, for 2016 and 17, will be $230,000, plus the other $20,000 of borrowing is for the labor. So that's where the $250,000 borrowing amount is coming from. We had talked about just using the depreciation fund cash and not borrowing, so it just shows a little bit off, because since I last looked at this, we did get more meters purchased. We don't have $250,000 anymore, so the question would be, do we use our last approximately $200,000, or do we proceed with the borrowing? And what is the ideal amount of cash to have there? I talked to the PSC, there's no requirement to have that account, although they do find it to be good practice. So it's really up to us what we want to leave in there. I personally think it's a good practice to have something in there. I think $200,000 is plenty low. We also have that same sort of account in the sanitary sewer utility for when things come up. And Craig had just mentioned we have about $200,000 in that account, and we have a pretty big expense that just came up too that we'll be hitting up that account for. So,
an example of why we like to have some cash in the fund is what's come up in the last 10 days is we have a failure of a sewer. It's one that's costing us, based on our observations, the inflow that we're getting, it's costing us a fair bit of money. Well, it's probably in the neighborhood of $100,000 to repair it. We have a little over $200,000 in the fund. That would be the source of the funds to make that, to do that repair. But that's why you carry that extra reserve, so you have that in the case of an emergency. And that's the same for the water utility. You know, we don't know. We may have an emergency at some point in time that costs us a fair bit of money that we would need that reserve for. So that's the reality of what we deal with. Sometimes you have those things happen, and then you got to come up with some money to deal with it. In the case of the sewer, the $100,000 number is a swag. We haven't worked through the details to really nail down the cost. But it looks like what it's costing us is at least $75,000 a year in Green Bay Met sewer bill. It might be more than that.
Wow.
One repair would theoretically we'd save that money in a year. But that's why you have a reserve.
Which is the one that just failed?
What's that?
Which is the one that just failed?
I'm sorry.
Which one just failed?
Well, it's Kenny Street. It's 18 laterals on Kenny Street. It's a construction-related issue from back a number of years ago when that street was reconstructed. Went through the records and we found out that there were some construction-related problems. We had the contractor who did the work come in. We videotaped it. We see what happened. It isn't the kind of construction materials we use today. And the lines have fractured, the laterals have fractured. So
of that $100,000, as an example, how much of that is labor, our labor versus external labor or product? It's all product. So we don't do our own work in that.
No. I mean, we'll set it up. We do the evaluation. We'll figure out what needs to be done. We'll get bids, but it's all contractor.
Claire.
18 laterals is a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a tremendous amount of work.
Is there any negligence on the contractor?
We're well beyond any time period where we could do much about it, because it's 15 years old or whatever.
Sounds like a taillight warning.
Is there some negligence? The answer is probably yes, and I'm not sure that it's just contractor.
Okay. About the depreciation fund. Mm-hmm. So this is what depreciation fund and how is it put in there? How does this work?
The word depreciation is misleading. It's a water cash account. Maybe it was depreciation just because the idea is for capital asset purchases that set aside.
Okay.
The reason we got this main money source was from way back when, from NACE, Central Brown County Water Authority. So I just have personally my notes on it, on the spreadsheet that I inherited. So you can kind of see back in 99, the balance was $150,000.
So are we still accumulating into that fund, or is it stagnant and we're just taking out?
It's stagnant and we're taking out our main receipts that we got in here. If we ever have surplus money, we definitely put it in there as a practice. It's just
okay.
With the water utility running so low, we don't
so
have excess cash.
So if the water utility is actually making cash, we would put it in there for...
It's been putting in there. The big balances that came in here was from a reimbursement of prior year fees for bond expenditures for Central Brown County Water Authority asset constructed. I don't have the history on exactly what happened here.
Well, that kind of makes sense, though. I mean, I get what you're doing now. Yeah. I just couldn't understand
That's why we got so much in it. That was money we didn't expect to have, and we thought we'd save it for items, and then it just kind of shows what we've paid for out of it.
Okay.
Over the years, which has been mainly this water meter replacement project. We said we would pay out of that, so...
So it's not going to build itself up until...
Right, so you can see how much we've already paid. $432,000 of our own cash we're able to use in 2013, 2014, and 2015 to date. We've $756,000 we've used our own cash for.
Okay.
So in order to complete that project, we'd need another $230,000 plus labor?
Yes.
On top of the $198,000?
That's not considering the $198,000.
That's leaving some cushion in there.
This is the balance in the cash account right now.
Okay.
So we need $250,000 approximately. We can use $198,000, and then we have a deficit of $52,000, or we can borrow the $250,000. I would think a good practice would be to leave a balance in there of not less than approximately $150,000 to $200,000. So,
just as a matter of interest, the labor for that is Ken, right?
Correct.
And we pay him, don't we pay him a salary out of our operating budget?
Some of it.
So he charges the time when he is doing the water meter installs on his timesheet. He marks that. That gets charged this project. To this cash account, I allocate all that. When he's doing building inspection, that shows up on his timesheet under another account. It gets charged to the general fund under that code, and that's paid out of the operating budget. So he's
split. So actually, we're not seeing it as an expense right now because it's coming out of this fund.
Kevin, it's his labor is a capitalizable. I'm saying that word right. A cost that can be capitalized.
Right. So it's not really showing
us. No, it's not showing an expense. It's showing up
in
the cost that's being capitalized for the meters, which then gets depreciated, and that's how it shows up as expense.
So do we have a meter usage fund then, like equipment fund, so then after we put these new meters in, we're doing accumulating funds to pay for the next meters?
Theoretically, that's what your depreciation fund is
for. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
But we don't really put any money in there.
Well,
we would have to
like
start
said,
doing
when
that.
When we have extra money, it goes in there.
Yeah. But not like on a regular basis, like an equipment usage fund.
Yeah.
No, we don't. It's not by user fees or anything like that. It's, for example, the sanitary sewer utility, it's required that you put a certain amount in. The water utility does not have any sort of requirement like that.
Okay.
So it's been the practice in the past when operations are good, when we're generating a revenue, to set some of that aside.
Is there a reason we didn't buy all of the meters up front and just get it all done with?
Because of, I think once you take delivery, your warranty starts on them. And
well,
some other considerations.
We can't do them in 1 year. It's a 4-year project.
Yeah,
because of the staffing requirements. So, and we made the, it came out of Public Works to our work there that we wanted to use basically $750,000 out of the depreciation fund and not have to borrow all that money. So that's where that came from. That's a couple, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. or 2.5 years ago or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. What's the lifetime on those meters?
By under the PSC regulations, 20 years, we're expecting 23 to 25.
Yeah.
So really, we should be depreciating them by 23 years, putting that into the fund, technically. I'm not going to be around in 23 years to worry about it, but...
Yes, you will.
Well, I probably will, I'm not that old. I plan on living a while yet.
She just won't be as pleasant.
You might be wrong, you won't be on the board.
And I won't be worrying about it.
Yeah.
I won't worry about it.
So, any other questions on the depreciation fund, the purpose, and any other considerations?
Just one last question for the $230,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's in 2016. You're going to look for that money?
2016, yes.
Okay. So in this budget, somewhere that $230,000.
They'll be purchased. It's just how to pay for them.
And in the budget, where is it? Where are we expecting to get the money? Or where are we asking for the money?
To borrow.
So is that the capital improvement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. We thought we would do a state trust fund loan. They have loans that you can do for relatively low cost for any amount. Relatively low interest rate, but with this opportunity to refund a bond, which is an even lower interest rate, it would make sense to take it onto there.
So then how do we pay it back? Where do we get the money to pay it back? Does that come out of the regular budget?
Payments, yeah. And the water utility would pay back that portion.
If they ever make any money to put in their depreciation fund and pay that back.
And in general, what's the term of the loan or the bond?
The refunding one, I think, has less than 10 years.
Okay.
And if we did a state trust fund loan, like, you can pick 3, 5, 10, 20.
You can go to 20, but you can get a 10.
Okay. I know the maximum life of a bond is 20. And
is it?
Okay. So it can't go over 20.
Yeah, for $250,000.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
It is included in the rate case of the Public Service Commission as a $250,000 loan. Right. We had to plug it in there so that it shows up, because otherwise we couldn't do it. So it's in there.
Oh. So part of the rate case, it's already taken this into account.
Yes.
So we have a plan to.
That was the plan based on
pay the principal.
Discussions with Public Works and that committee.
Okay. Makes sense then.
When we made that, we put that in as a state trust fund loan for $250,000. All right, so on to the next question then, which I didn't print off a lot of copies of this. Because I don't know that this is the best way to answer this right now. It was going to take a little bit more work than we thought, but it was related to code enforcement, the tickets issued, and...
Ooh, I missed that question.
Okay, that's a fun one.
It sounds like it was.
It's hard. We do not have a specific program that will track this. Mark does put together spreadsheets of all the addresses he goes out to, so you can kind of see his activity, but how much money comes in that goes into invoices. The best way to look at this is off of our invoice log, because we don't have accounts payable, formal accounting. It's just not cost effective for us. We don't send out enough invoices. We don't buy that module. We have it all in a spreadsheet. So all the invoices go on here. We don't mark which ones specifically came as a result of code enforcement and which ones did not. The best thing I could do is take the spreadsheet, sort it by description, which ones we know Mark writes tickets for. Do we know that he wrote tickets for all of these and all of these are a result of his activities? No, we don't know that. Some people do call in for bulk item pickup and whatnot, but we're comfortable with probably at least 80% of this is related to Mark. So total for 2014, it was $12,600. 2,600 of those invoices were canceled for miscellaneous reasons. With discussions with property owners and.
How much was canceled?
2,600. So net would be 10,000 for 2014, and we're comfortable saying about 80%, at least 8,000 would be a direct result of that. And you might want to take a voice into account, even though we didn't get money for it, I guess it still made somebody aware of the code. You know, it's still a discussion in his time, so kind of a soft benefit there.
Well, and it was still the problem that fixed.
Right, there was a problem that got fixed. You know, there's other things, and that was a hard thing. He has his list of properties, so there's a lot of contacts made. They don't all result in invoices.
Well, and the goal, as I recall, wasn't to generate an income source.
Right.
It was to get compliance.
So.
When Mark keeps his spreadsheet, we get the emails on a weekly basis saying this is what I did this week.
Oh, okay.
And then it says action, it's pending or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does he then continue that spreadsheet and say, okay, on this date, it's been resolved? Do you know? I never get that part.
I think that's kind of where it's written on the side.
Sides that are too big to the sheet.
Handwritten. Handwritten on the side.
Because then you could also say paid. And if you're going to go through the problem, doing it.
Here's an example of one of those spreadsheets that you get the report from Mark. And in this case, the complaint was bulk, but it was checked after the notice was sent and is indicated on whether or not it was picked up by the resident or it's still out and then it's billed. And that's kind of what he has done. He just does a running sheet between himself and the street foreman.
You know, I think that's fine. I can see him putting more time into trying to keep records to show us than he would have to go out and do what we want him to do. So I can't. I think at one time we're looking at some software that was supposed to make it easy for him and it made it worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question then. I know that we had used this in the past cadets to do some code enforcement as well. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of related but not related to, we should be back in touch with former Officer Flannery in regards to seeing if we can re-up that program and have people, cadets, specifically assigned to chronic
abusers,
yes, and have them to free up his time to find new, revenue generating sites or problems, or to be able to give him a easier base to work from.
My conversation with Mark, and hopefully this will help today too. 2011 is when Mark first started, and we'll talk about first the parking citations that were issued by or initiated by the cadets. In 2011, he started late in the year, so from July to December, $840 was written by the cadets. Now, he says some of those are his himself, but we just lumped it all together. 2012, $3,480. 2013, $2,480. 2014, $2,580. So majority in the line item in the court budget shows approximately, budgeted $20,000 a year. So the cadets themselves and or Mark are only responsible for a very small portion of that. So it is the officers, which I needed to clarify, because I think I said the other night that I believe it was the cadets did a lot of this, but in reality it is the officers that are actually doing more of the enforcement.
Do we know how much they've done year to date?
There's not much year to date.
But that also is relying on how many cadets there are.
And
that varies greatly.
In 2011, when he first started, he had around that 8 cadets. 2012 to 2013, he had approximately 20, which was, in conversation with Mark, was kind of difficult to keep track of those 20 that are running around. Ideally, he'd like to see about that 8. 2014, again, we were down to 7 to 8 cadets on average. 2015, he started the year off with 7 to 8, and we're down to 2 right now. A question was also asked, how many hours are required of these cadets or these students to perform outside of the classroom? It's 90 hours.
Over what period of time?
Yeah, over there, the course of from what I understand would be the course of their year. So it really depends on the number of students that are signed up to be in the academy. It's a certainly dictates how many he can eventually get into the cadet program here.
Did he happen to say why he believes we went from 8 to 2?
Just kids that have, or students that have graduated, and the cadet, the academy itself is not as many. He as of today, he had two more contacted him, and I spoke to one on Saturday. I ran into an Alloway resident, that student that's going to school for police science, and he said he was going to be, so that could put him up to 5. And I had asked Mark, okay, can you give me an idea of what is it that the cadets are assigned to do? They do the parking. They do building checks. They do home checks for those that sign up that they're going to be gone for an extended period of time. The cadets will do their check on the home, make sure things are fine. They're involved in special events such as they could be involved in the drug pharmacy drop-off, or whatever you want to call the drug drop-off program. They're involved in the Bell and Run. It's at Oktoberfest they've been involved with in the past. Events at Heritage Hill. We did have them, I think, twice they came to the farmer's market, the two that were still semi-active.
What if we had cadets who worked in combination with the Neighborhood Watch people?
That's they were spent a lot of time trying to rejuvenate the Neighborhood Watch program this past year, passing a lot of flyers out. Mark says he's got it all mapped off of the neighborhoods that they concentrated on. They do check the parks and trails, both the East and Fox River Trail. They do some time with ride-alongs with the officers for additional experience. So that's kind of what they end up doing. They devote a couple hours a week, and it's not really having hard to schedule them when they're a lot of the students are also working and or going to school. But
and that sounds like good use of them.
I think when John was here, that program was extremely strong.
Yeah.
But he also had a nice tie to NWTC at the time, and got that program rolling. Mark is in contact with John quite frequently to talk about the program and try to recruit additional cadets. I had asked Mark, at one point the students were asked to get involved in some other code violations. And what can happen is not as much, I guess, the softer approach aspect to it, where these students are asked to do a define, go out and check for tall grass areas, and he said literally you're probably out there with a ruler trying to measure to make sure, and then there's some it's more that soft approach was gone away because they were strictly going by the book. And
they haven't quite figured that out yet. They haven't learned it, so they can't bend it.
That's why they have a manager or supervisor.
Right, so that's why it backed off a lot on trying to enforce a lot of the other codes. But, that's certainly something worthy of a discussion as far as with the discussion is what direction would you like to see the program go? You want to get back to a very rigid, high intensity that it once was? Do we, look at utilizing the list that Mark provided with the parking, checking buildings, ride-alongs, those sort of things? That's one of those items that several years ago when it was initially brought up to enforce the ordinances and get compliance. One, you got to hope that the previous years have set the stage where we don't have as many violators.
Where people are more aware of
people are
what,
more aware.
And that's what
right. So you would see some of that drop down as well.
But awareness will be better because we'll have our cable TV station.
No.
Well, I think that
we have the
embargo checking the locks on the businesses tonight.
it's a question for discussion at some point as far as what is the direction you would like to see the code enforcement go. Now, Mark does spend quite a bit of time with Monica for the animal pickups, which is, I think, was that on that list too?
That's on the 2015 one.
2015.
We have the animal pickup, and again, we couldn't quite get a complete handle on, at least right now, how much are coming from Monica and how much are coming from Mark.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why she'd need him, but.
They may be initiated from Mark. Mark could be going to the complaint on barking dog, and eventually issues a citation to him. So I think in the very near future, a candid discussion as far as what are the expectations? Have they changed from the board's perspective as far as where do you want to go with the code enforcement itself? It's probably worthy.
Right. And I think as part of the budget, it's right now the only consideration that we really need tonight is the amount that's budgeted in there right now, and you want to leave that the same, reduced, or increased. So.
In the revenue aspect.
In the expense, too.
What would we want to increase the expense for?
If you wanted more time for code enforcement.
Oh, right.
Or less time.
No, I, in looking at all this, I started looking at this just because and revenue isn't everything, it's enforcement. But if we're paying $65,000 a year for it, A, do we have to do that? I was thinking if we had more, I'm not suggesting we do this, but one option would be if we had more cadets doing the work, gave them more responsibility, but with guidance, supervisor, that's what interns are supposed to get, right? They're being trained on how not to take out the ruler and get all goofy, but use common sense in, because you're going to have to do that when you become a law enforcement official. And have them report to our DEO. Is that a reasonable approach to that?
Well, then you're getting over into actual law enforcement, though, and that's not how they're operating. They're operating within the basis of the village in regard to the actual codes themselves, right. And you're looking at they're siloed in the sense because you have an actual legal law aspect of going to arrest somebody or whatever, as opposed to civil, which is going through and finding infractions. I think what it needs is a better definition of what our expectations are, what Brad said, and that we should also speak with Flannery or whomever from NWTC to find out the abilities of the people who are coming to this village, and then to be able to define what they will do from that point and how that can relate to what we need and or want. And, yes, the oversight of management on them for the capability of expanding the coverage within the village and the expectations as to how severe or how lenient.
Listen, I think it's the code enforcement used to be done by the building inspector. It was the building inspector's last code enforcement officer, and that had migrated into.
Then we started contracting.
We started contracting, so there was a void. So that's when Mark was hired. DEO officer at one point when Flannery was here. He took care of that program. Dan Sandberg, I think, worked under it for a while, and then that change started to happen. I think putting it back on the code enforcement officer, then we're just going to, what is it that we're not going to ask him, he or she, to do then in the near future? Because I think it does, depending on how many students you would end up having, is going to dictate how much time they're going to be involved.
Well, and we also have a building inspector here.
Right.
That's just something I think we should look at.
It's something that, there's more to the building inspection that Craig and I have been talking about. Of other opportunities coming up down the road because of the contract that we currently have for, just trying to blank on it.
Cross-connection program.
Yeah.
I have to say I've had less complaints about being able to get a hold of the building inspector, but that's because Rob's on the board now.
That's not fair.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think it is a valid discussion from a budget standpoint. I think it's a discussion for another meeting. I realize that it's part of the budget and we have to do it. Mm-hmm. We honestly could spend the next hour and a half talking about the responsibilities of that, role, and I think we could do it better outside of this meeting.
And I think it would be to have Mark prepare some stuff.
I agree.
There is a booklet that's put together, which is the guidelines for the cadet program itself that John had written. Very well done.
So, and have Mark present for the discussion.
It should be a separate meeting, but it should be Flannery and it should be Lochnow or whomever, and it should be Mark, and then someone from here to coordinate. And I agree. We're spending time on something that should be But I think that's something that's...
We need to put that in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. In the parking lot.
We're trying to figure out how to pay for a parking lot.
And then maintain it.
Just pay for
it. Okay. All right, so for all in agreement, we'll kind of leave the code enforcement as is and bring it up later, and then we'll take a timeout to eat subs as our carcinogenic sandwich meat is going bad.